I mean, I think that when we were trying to get past those common sense reforms last year, Vice President Biden and I had a meeting with a group of technology people and talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification, the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear, how guns can be used only by the person who is. So it's those kinds of things that I think we want to try to explore so that we can make sure that people have the ability to enjoy their Second Amendment rights while at the same time the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear. Decreasing the misuse of weapons, we can make sure that people have the ability to enjoy their bracelet or something that you might wear.
Together.
Radio.
Underground. We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Beagle.
Pirate transmission from District 5 signal. Repeat. This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, our weekly podcast, 8 p.m. here in the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for following us over from the American Christian Network from yesterday, yesterday's broadcast, where we interviewed Dave Schumann, a constitutional sheriff candidate for Boundary County. Go and listen to that. That was a great discussion with him. It's good to see patriots pursuing elected positions, and he has a very, very good chance of getting it one position at a time. This is how you win locally. This is how you take back America locally, not at the federal level. Don't be distracted by that circus. Now, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm going to pick up where I left off yesterday from segment one, talking about the Saul Alinsky-style yellow journalism attacks on our elected officials that are standing up for liberty, and they are demonizing them. In fact, setting up the argument to one day even criminalize them. You heard that right. I'm going to get into all of that. Oh, don't forget to follow us on Facebook. We've got a lot of stuff happening daily there, regularly. Thank you for the partisans that help out with that. Really good stuff. So, let's do it. The news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out now about the collapse and the rebuilding, with audiobooks as well. We'll go right into the news and the internet on the national level. From the what could possibly go wrong category, Breitbart was covering a story that the Smartmatic Group, an electronic voting firm whose worldwide headquarters is located in the United Kingdom, will be running the online balloting process in the Utah Republican Open Caucuses on Tuesday. The chairman of Smartmatic's board, Lord Mark Moloch Brown, currently serves on the board of George Soros's Open Society Foundation and has close ties to the billionaire. So, sorry, Utah. They will let you know how they voted for you afterward. Lucky you. Oh, here is one from New... Where did this come from? This was on Bill Callan? By Bill Callan. This was back from October, but I can't remember if we covered this. Barack Obama just sided with Muslims to enforce Islamic Sharia law on American businesses, leaving many outraged. So this isn't news. This is old news. But this is a story that somehow got – I do not recall covering this if this happened, if I did. Two Muslim truck drivers, former Somali refugees, refused to make deliveries of beer to stores for their employer. So they were understandably fired. Look, you're hired to drive a delivery truck and you won't deliver, so sorry, we can't use you. Well, they claimed it was in violation of their religious beliefs, even though Islam bars only the consumption of alcohol. And as the employer pointed out, the workers knew they would have to deliver alcohol before they took the job. So guess what Barack Obama did? The administration sued the employers on behalf of the pair, Mahad Abbas Mohammed and Abdi Karim Hassan Bushail, claiming religious discrimination. Obama's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission represented them in the case, and they were ultimately rewarded $240,000. That's about half the amount that they fine Christians for exercising their religious beliefs. But only this went the other way around. They were awarded almost $250,000 because their religious beliefs. They were forced to do something that violated their religious beliefs. Do we have equal justice in this country? Now, this is new news. From onenewsnow.com. In the Texas Redoubt, an atheist is suing the separation of church and state argument, using the separation of church and state argument against a cross in Texas. Abundant Life Fellowship is constructing a cross in Corpus Christi that's 210 feet tall. Corpus Christi. The city is named the Body of Christ. And this cross is 210 feet tall, 95 feet wide, reportedly the tallest in the Western Hemisphere along an interstate leading into the city. Well, Texas atheist Patrick Green, a God-hating little Irishman, is suing the church and its pastor, Rick Milby, on the questionable legal argument that inviting the mayor and two city council members to a groundbreaking ceremony violated the Texas Constitution. Get a rope. Oh, man. It's entertaining, if nothing else, watching what's happening in our country. Wow. Hey, some good news. Idaho, good job. The permitless carry bill, or also known as the constitutional carry bill, passed the Idaho House and the Senate. That's Senate Bill 1389. This last Wednesday, it passed 54-15. So as soon as the governor signs it into law, the majority of Idaho citizens have supported this passage of permitless constitutional carry within the state. The bill allows for concealed carry of a weapon without the requirement of a permit or license within the state of Idaho, including city limits, for all residents over the age of 21. But if you're 18 to 20 years old, you may carry concealed outside the city limits without the requirement of a permit. But you have to obtain a license to carry concealed inside of city limits. This license will transfer to an enhanced license after they turn 21 years old. And the enhanced license they're going to keep in place for reciprocity purposes, for traveling to other states that recognizes Idaho's enhanced concealed weapons license. So that's good. We just took care of all kinds of problems with that. That's a good move. Now, a couple of announcements here. No, I'm going to do those announcements when we come back. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We'll be back in a minute. Come on!
Moody's Analytics, Bloomberg, and Standard & Poor's. What do they all have in common? Well, they're all telling us that there's major, major financial hurdles on the horizon. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. Last week, I brought you a report about 13 major retailers closing the door. We're going to dive more in depth on that this week on Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past 8 weeks, you've heard our commercial for SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and I wanted to take a few minutes to talk to you about the quality of their product. When you think about the collapse, our minds normally drift toward things like the three Bs: beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. But I want you to add another letter, C, for coffee. Basic things like coffee are mood boosters, and those are very, very important in a collapse situation. Nothing is worse than being in a stressful environment and not having anything to look forward to each morning as you wake up. You should store coffee. Yes, you can store the low-quality stuff in the number 10 cans, but I would encourage you to go with a quality product, and that product is coffee from SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Their roasted or unroasted beans are some of the best you can get. And you should make sure, as you think about your future, do you want to wake up to low-quality, stale-tasting coffee, or do you want to wake up to a vibrant-tasting coffee that will help you slip your boots on in the morning and be ready to rebuild the redoubt? Get yours today. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing quality coffee. Welcome back, everyone. What a week, huh? Remember last week when I brought you two stories on how poorly the jobs market is doing? Well, I want to elaborate on that tonight. In fact, seven states are already in the throes of depression, and yet mainstream economists mentioned last week that everything is going okay. This couldn't be any further from the truth. Earlier this month, Bloomberg released a report called, quote, "The U.S. States Where Recession Is Already a Reality." And it was very telling. In fact, Bloomberg reported that Alaska, North Dakota, West Virginia, and Wyoming are all in a recession. And there are three other states at serious risk of prolonged declines, according to Moody's Analytics. The three states that are, quote, at risk of prolonged declines are Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. Now, what those seven states all have in common, is a strong dependence on the energy industry. Now, I work for a company that has here in the readout that has close ties to that industry, and I can absolutely verify that companies like Plains Midstream, Key Energy, and Tesoro are all having major problems paying their vendors for services. Last year, 67 oil and gas companies in the United States filed for bankruptcy, and approximately 130,000 good-paying jobs were lost at the end of 2015. Now, I know the price of oil has creeped up, but at this rate, the price of oil does not go back up to $98 a barrel, and I have said this in the past, it is going to cause major, major issues. But let's go deeper for a moment. Moody's Analytics is reporting that a whopping 35% of all oil and gas companies around the planet are failing or look at possible risk of bankruptcy. And the financial institutions that have been backing up these energy companies are starting to get very, very nervous. We know that Wells Fargo and JP Morgan have all said there's going to be another economic collapse. And both those companies, as I reported in the past, have taken serious steps to begin prepping their employees to deal with bankrupts and economic downturn. Does anyone feel like we're beginning to repeat the early stages of 2008? Now, it's not just the oil industry is having problems too. According to CNBC, corporate profits in the United States have now declined for three straight quarters. And it's the very first time since that's happened since the last recession. Now, as these corporate profits fall, layoffs are starting to increase. I reported to you last week that 13 major retailers are shutting down all over America, and with the most recent being the Sports Authority filing bankruptcy last Friday, saying they were potentially going to close more stores than they first thought they had to do. Another fact. According to the firm of Challenger Gray and Christmas, the number of job cuts in this country shot up 218% in January. Yes, it's starting to look like 2008 all over again, and I'm convinced that it'll be much, much harder, if not impossible, to find a decent job, decent paying job here in America. The American dream may finally be dead. Want to know a few more facts? Here are some numbers that indicate the U.S. is heading towards a major economic slowdown. U.S. exports were down 7% on a year-over-year basis in December. U.S. manufacturing has been in contraction now for four straight months in a row. U.S. factory orders have fallen for 14 months in a row. The Restaurant Performance Index in the United States has dropped to the lowest level since 2008. Orders for Class 8 trucks in the United States have dropped by 48% on a year-over-year basis in January. But don't worry, the mainstream media continues to try to convince all of us that everything is going to be just fine. In fact, CNN has even run an article that says, quote, the U.S. recession fears fade after market rally. And the Wall Street Journal published an article that says the U.S. economy is in good shape. How can this possibly be when the numbers don't lie? Don't you love it when they continue to try to pacify us with bread and circuses? Folks, I know sometimes my news isn't good, but these items you can use when talking to the masses out there. Use the numbers. They never lie. Keep your focus in the coming weeks. Thanks again for listening for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
All right, we're back going into segment two. Email me at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. Our website is radiofreereadout.com. That's with the silent B, readout. R-E-D-O-U-B-T.com. A readout is a safe haven, a refuge, fallback position, which is exactly what it is for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that are strategically relocating in preparation for the challenging times coming ahead. They're gathering. It's really exciting. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you who are strategically relocating to the northernmost part of the panhandle of Idaho, it is a Patriot-owned business, and they take great care of their people. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, I do have a couple of announcements. Monday, March 28th, next Monday, not tomorrow, next Monday, I will be speaking at the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans monthly meeting. That's at 6:45 p.m., and that will be at the La Belle La Vie, which is in the Spokane Valley. So we have actually directions. I know many of you who are able to go to that have been to other events at that same venue in the past, so you know right where it is. But for those of you who have not, well, we've got destructions for you over there on the website and at Facebook. Also, in Prosser, Washington, on April 21st and 22nd, 6:30 p.m., Chris Ann Hall will be speaking on state sovereignty and the duty of state and local representatives. Don't miss that. If you're anywhere close and you can make it, getting in front of her is a real treat. And a big one to put on your calendars is May 7th, that Saturday, at the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington. Of course, we got T-Rex coming up June 10th through the 12th, nationwide disaster preparedness exercise to try out your preparedness plans and cook and live off-grid for a couple days, flip the power off on your home, and get involved in the nationwide communications nets that'll be going on, sharing fictitious training, hypothetical training messages going back and forth about this developing disaster, which this year is going to be based on a massive earthquake scenario. So check that out. God and Country celebration this year is going to be big, and that is going to be a week prior to 4th of July weekend. So that's June 26th, June 27th, and of course, the weekend before that, my goodness, June is packed. The Liberty Tree Expo in Yakima, Washington, on June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Amron Core will be there doing a training exercise. Matt Shea, Chris Ann Hall, Cope Reynolds, several speakers that you guys are already familiar with will be there. Now, yesterday, I started out in segment one on ACN, talking about the attack. This is obviously a very coordinated attack. Multiple blogs and websites came out of nowhere all at once, all speaking the same language. Of course, a lot of them are just kind of regurgitating each other's stuff, but a lot of no-name bloggers trying to make a name for themselves, not verifying information, which unfortunately for them is untrue. Some of it's lies, some of it's out of context, which is the same as lying. The Coalition of Western States, which has a membership of about 50 legislators, plus a lot of grassroots type conservative, patriotic groups, from bloggers and podcasters to just liberty activists and some militia leaders, and, you know, just people that are concerned about our Constitution and federal overreach. Well, this all came from this delegation. Let me just kind of recap yesterday. The delegation went down there to Burns to try to find a peaceful resolution to the situation. They were met by a hostile judge. I've talked about him before. Grasty. Sounds like nasty. That's his words. That's how he introduced himself. They said, I'm sorry, what? Grasty? He said, yeah, it's like nasty. So, all right, well, that's how you want to be remembered. Fine. So, Mr. Nasty Grasty got nasty with the coalition, the delegation, which were invited there. Now, this is where I said yesterday, this judge said that these guys are criminals and terrorists, and he wants them out of his county. And he actually acts like it's his county. But it's interesting that he already had them convicted in his mind of criminal activity and terrorism when in that very same meeting, the law enforcement representatives, the prosecutor team, and the law enforcement agents were asked what laws those out at the refuge had actually broken, what actual laws were broken. And they said in Oregon, no laws have been broken. And the FBI guy couldn't even answer. I don't know. I'll have to ask the district. I can't answer that. They couldn't answer the question as far as what laws were broken. But there's the judge saying these guys are criminals. Well, now this delegation is being accused of planning and participating in key aspects of the occupation. So this article that was written by taxpayers' dollars for the OPB, which is the Oregon Public Broadcasting. So you pretty much know how unbiased they're going to be, right? Now, I listened to that meeting on the audio file, and I debriefed several of the members from that delegation who were in that meeting. One of the legislators had to even intervene, saying, look, we're trying to de-escalate the situation here, so please stop using the terrorism label. But here's the problem. Right now, they are setting up the argument for criminalizing our patriot leaders. I've been saying this has been coming for the last couple of years. I've been saying this at some point in the future. You're going to see this. Now, you're going to watch this progression. Marginalization, then demonization, then criminalization, then incarceration, then extermination. That's the sequence of events, or that's the sequence that a tyranny, as it's coming to full maturity, that it goes through toward a target demographic group. And of course, we know that the Christian right-wing conservative patriots are the target group. This is what the tyrant has its eyes set on. We're the biggest threat and the biggest barrier to those who want to dissolve our sovereignty and implement a global governance policy, and we are the biggest threat to them, standing in the way of that. The rest of the lemmings, like all these kids that want to vote for Bernie, they're like a bunch of little birds with their beaks in the air, begging, chirping for more, and they don't get it. But a lot of us get it. I was talking to a young patriot. She's what, 20? I think she's 21 or 22. She said that she got invited to a Bernie Sanders rally and she just responded on a text. Puke. That's all she wrote. She goes, I can't stand it. My generation. I said, yeah, I know. Hang in there. You stand your ground. You stand firm. And bless you for doing it. But this OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, this article was written by somebody that you need to keep in your mind. His name is John Sepulvado, Sepulvado. He's a snake in the grass. He has created a reputation that goes out before him as being a sneaky snake, left-wing journalist, if you will. He writes, Matt Shea is no stranger to armed confrontations. That's Representative Matt Shea, who is the chair of the Coalition of Western States. He's no stranger to armed confrontations. In April 2014, the lawmaker who has sponsored legislation to split Washington into two states, he actually submitted legislation for the Eastern conservative Washington to secede from Western Washington, knowing full well it wasn't going to pass, but it was to make a statement about the frustration of the people on the east side of Washington being overruled by the leftists on the left side of the state, which is actually a very small segment in the Seattle area. So 3/5 of the state is conservative, red, being ruled by the majority, the masses, the huddled masses in the urban areas, the Seattle, greater Seattle area. He traveled from Spokane Valley to Bunkerville, Nevada to support Clive and Bundy's armed standoff with the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. Well, hold on a minute. If you could say he's no stranger to armed confrontations because what? He went there and he spoke against the BLM coercing and threatening citizens? You could also say then the BLM and the FBI is no stranger to armed confrontations. They've been involved in many more, but only they were pointing guns at people and threatening them. Fox News, CNN, Associated Press, they've been at all of these too. They're no strangers to armed confrontations, but see the way that they word this? And what happened was an Arizona commissioner was set up and ambushed by somebody he didn't realize was a journalist, and he was talking about some things about the Coalition of Western States and how it was founded, and it was just like, it was damning comments made toward the coalition. And some people, I started asking, and several people in the Coalition of Western States said, I'm going to get him on the line right now. He was so embarrassed and so, he felt so horrible. He says, I didn't say those things. He says, they're lying. The only thing they got correct was my name. They took this out of context. They said this. I didn't even say this at all. I said this, but that was out of context. I was talking about something else, but they attributed it to this. So everything was just twisted and warped. And even the sound bites that they used were not even in context. They're claiming that the Coalition of Western States knew that Ammon Bundy was going to take over the refuge before he did, but he didn't. Matter of fact, Ammon said, when they met with him, he didn't even know. He went back and forth, and he finally decided it was like a spur-of-the-moment, last-minute thing. He'd been thinking about it and didn't, you know, tell anybody. And maybe he told his closest confidants, but nobody in the Coalition of Western States knew. They were stunned. They found out on social media, like everyone else. But that's not how these guys are writing it. I personally overheard several COWS legislators openly as well as privately state that they would not have chosen the course of action that Ammon Bundy chose. But since he did, and this was my position, but since he did, we want to do what they could. They wanted to do what they could to avoid bloodshed, avoid another Waco, and peacefully resolve the situation so the battle against the government overreach could be fought on the legal battlefield in the courts. Keep them alive. Don't let them get slaughtered. Let's fight this in the courts. There are also other lies here, like Anthony Bosworth was sent to help the militants, including Blaine Cooper, another occupation organizer, flee the compound. That's false. He was negotiating between those at the refuge and with the FBI. He was the in-between. He was sent as a delegate by the Coalition of Western States to try to keep the FBI from, these people would not, they did not want to leave the compound because earlier that day, Lavoie Finicum was shot dead. And they're all saying, this is an ambush. We're not going to leave. They'll slaughter us. All right. He worked to make sure that the FBI could give assurances that anyone who wanted to leave could leave as long as they're out of there by 4 a.m. You can freely go unmolested. It's not a trick. We want you out of the compound or out of the refuge visitor center. And anybody who wants to leave by 4 a.m. can go, and we will not harm you. We will not impede you. You're free to go. And they wouldn't leave and Anthony Bosworth worked with them to get their to get the FBI to commit to allowing these people to go freely, and they left freely. He didn't drive Blaine Cooper out of there, as this article states. And this was taken from a quote from somebody who either gave wrong information or his words were taken out of context, which wouldn't surprise me a bit, by this guy by the last name of Patrick, saying Blaine was on the outbound group with cows. Well, the only coalition of Western states that was there was Anthony Bosworth as a delegate, and he didn't take anybody out of there. He had his daughter with him. He left with no one except his daughter. He facilitated the safe passage of those leaving. But see, this is all lies. It's all being lied to and lied about. Another piece by some no-name blogger, obviously embellishing or outright lying, using inflammatory, dare I say, slanderous piece of some blog called Challenging the Rhetoric. Which is funny. She calls her blog Challenging the Rhetoric. It's funny because she's peddling rhetoric, misinformation, and even lies under the name Challenging the Rhetoric. Saul Alinsky would be proud. Here's the blog subtitle. No political endorsements, no corporate dollars, no hype, no lies. And this is what I'm saying. Remember, watch for the purge of leadership to come down the line in at some point in the future. And journalists like this, so-called journalists, are starting to make the case and call for those in legislative positions who are trying to advocate for citizens against the BLM, against their overreach, against the threats, against the coercion, to try to facilitate a peaceful resolution to the situation there, are now calling them co-conspirators. So, the sequence again, I will reiterate, it is marginalization. We've already seen that. We're way past that. Demonization, we're seeing that now. Now we're starting to straddle the line between demonization and criminalization. And of course, then would come incarceration, then extermination. That's a sequence of events in a tyranny. A developing tyranny went on its way to maturity. So right now, we're demonizing them, and now we're starting to call for the criminalization of them, calling them co-conspirators. And here's her headline. And this is starting to, this verbiage is very carefully crafted. Will Gavin Syme, Michelle Fiore, Sheriff Mack, Chris Ann Hall, and others be indicted for their legal influence, tactical support, encouragement, and admitted foreknowledge of Ammon Bundy's Malheur Refuge armed takeover? So implicating them as co-conspirators. So there's a whole swarm of these articles that are starting to come out now. An email response regarding Syme's Oregon reference, his brother and spokesman Nathan Syme replied denying his brother had any foreknowledge of a takeover and said instead the remark was in reference to rallies against Oregon's similar lawless gun restriction bill. Okay, so this blogger says, did he have foreknowledge? No, he didn't. Now, remember, another tactic of the left, especially communist revolutionaries, through their propaganda, is to continue repeating, even if you refute it, they will continue repeating the lie until it's accepted, until people begin believing it. This is clearly with an agenda. So she says, while it may be true that he didn't know about it in advance, the statement was posted a mere 5 days after the Bundy's public redress on Santilli's show. If Syme didn't know about the refuge plans or any takeover plans, how can it be that his fellow COWS members did? Now, in the interrogation world, which is one of my areas of expertise, this is a skillfully crafted question. This is called, well, technically, plurium interrogationem. Okay, that's a Latin word which falls under, there's several different types of questions that fall under that, and that's loaded questions. Now, some of the most effective propaganda is presented in the form of questions. It compels an answer, or rather, it forces the target to engage in the discussion or the thought. But in this case, the question contains a presupposition. It's a statement presented as factual or even common knowledge, begging the target audience to make a decision on how one feels about the question being asked, or designed to evoke a response which, regardless of what their answer is, affirms the information in the question. In other words, you're expected to accept that the presupposition or the implication, in this case, the cows knew, or it was implied that they knew in advance of the takeover. So you can see this and similar patterns in the propagandist's article. Even though this person is a no-name blogger, she's obviously skilled and trained in persuasion techniques, which no doubt came from the journalism training she has probably been through, which is largely dominated by communist-type professors. This is a typical Saul Alinsky-type disciple. You can see it in the way that she writes, her writing style. Sherry Roberts, she makes the naughty list. So the loaded question, how is it possible that the fellow cows members knew about this? Okay, a loaded question is one like, have you stopped beating your wife? No, it doesn't matter how you answer, right? It's like, no, I have. You haven't? I mean, yes. Oh, good. Okay, so you have stopped beating your wife, which means you were beating your wife. No. So you're not still beating her? No, no. Okay, so I mean, this is a loaded question. But she takes her argument to asking of the reader, if we're going to start prosecuting these people who took over the refuge, should we not also arrest the co-conspirators, as if they were co-conspirators, putting forward the lie or planting the thought in the reader's mind that the Coalition of Western States had prior knowledge, and they clearly did not. I know they did not because I was involved in those conversations. I spoke with several of them on one-on-one level, and they're like, we have no idea what to do now because they did not see that coming. So this is what we're up against, and this is the intended effect, and that is that it is intended to make other potential legislators or would-be supporters of this group of conservative, patriot-minded people fighting against tyranny want to backpedal or distance themselves. And that's when the communist propaganda tactics begin to work. So anyway, I'm going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, and I'll get that wrapped up. And there's something really important that I wanted to get to. Falls into the resistance category. So we got that and more right after the break. So stay tuned. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Late last week, the Houston Chronicle reported that over 100 agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms were, quote, combing neighborhoods and asking people about suspicious purchases, as well as seeking explanations as to how their guns ended up being used in murders, kidnappings, and other crimes in Mexico. Agents are also personally visiting firearms dealers and reviewing gun registration records. Let me say this again, unless you missed it. This is happening in Texas, Houston, Texas. This should be of concern for every law-abiding citizen. The reason given for these house-to-house searches is even more ludicrous. To stop the flow of guns into Mexico, where it is alleged that 90% of the guns captured there are coming from the United States. The only problem is that that 90% statistic was proven to be an outright lie. The Washington State Constitution is clear on the issue of gun ownership. Under Article 1, Section 24, quote, "The right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired." This is much more definitive than the federal Second Amendment. But neither the Washington nor United States constitutions create the right to bear arms. They simply limit government. As stated in the recent Heller decision by the United States Supreme Court, the right to bear arms already exists. The founders understood that imposing on such a vital freedom was the road to tyranny. Why? Because in our system of checks and balances, there are four branches of government. Yes, four. Aside from the executive, judicial, and legislative branches, the final check and balance is a well-armed people. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
Welcome to segment three, brought to you by Katie Armor. They are a newly relocated business from Michigan to Idaho. And they make full body armor, front plates, side plates, soft armor, amazing stuff. And they're built by patriots right in the American Redoubt. They also have a coupon code, John Jacob, to get the discount for that. For right now, that's what they're offering. And that also includes shipping on all those items. So check them out. Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, as in come and take it, katiearmor.com. I wanted to just finish up here before I get on to the cool resistance-y stuff. I wanted to continue talking about this, the propaganda campaign that's going out, and we have to keep the faith with each other when this information comes out, especially if you know it's from a left-wing so-called news organization, then you have to keep the faith with each other. They are going to come for you. They're going to come for me. They're going to come for everybody that we care about. Any other patriot group, they are going to try to divide and try to destroy them. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. Over at thewesterner.blogspot.com, they got an article. GOP officials promised political aid to somebody if they would renounce their BLM contract. This article, now normally the Westerner, they cover a lot of, you know, things that we're concerned about, you know, land issues and government overreach and the environmentalists meddling with people's property. And I was surprised to see them run this, but what they did was they basically regurgitated the information put out by the OPB, the Oregon Public Broadcasting, from the snake in the grass, so-called journalist posing as another patriot, good old boy, tell me everything. And of course, the guy started speaking freely. And even then, what he said was taken out of context or completely fabricated, according to Corbell. So these guys are on a mission, and there's plenty of people helping them. And then there's people that are unwittingly helping them by regurgitating some of this stuff without checking it themselves. Stating that the cows promised to help elevate a rancher's political career if he would cancel his BLM grazing contract. Really? The so-called quote, Corbell, is saying cows contacted Sewell shortly after the occupation, promised to help him. This rancher's name is Sewell, Adrian Sewell. Promised to help him run for a local office in exchange for his appearance at the January 23rd event where he would cancel his BLM contract. Well, what's interesting is that his wife got on and posted a comment under this article and said, "I am Mrs. Sewell, and this is both false and comical." And then I saw a social media posting by Adrian Sewell, the rancher, saying, "Public office, this is the first I've heard of this." He was not even, matter of fact, he has a felony conviction for assault and cannot even run for public. He had no intentions of public running for public office. He got in a fight, punched somebody or something, so he got convicted for assault. I don't know what the details were, but anyway, something that happened, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. So he's got this felony. He can't even run for office, had no intentions of trying to run for office. And they're claiming that the Coalition of Western States is, he went and canceled his contract with the BLM because of promises made by cows to help him with his political career, which is completely fabricated. So right now they're not even saying, look, we disagree with you philosophically, so we are going to oppose you. We think the BLM should control all this land, and we think the BLM should be able to start wildfires and burn cattle and homes and fence lines, and their fire should be able to get out of control, and nothing should happen to them. But this rancher over here, he starts a fire and it gets out of control. We think he should go down for terrorism. All right, that's our philosophical standpoint. So if you're against the BLM, we're going to stand opposed to you because this is just what we want. This is what we support. It's like somebody saying, look, you think everybody should own black cars. I think everybody should own red cars. You know, we're just opposed in our viewpoint. But see, these guys aren't just saying we disagree with you philosophically on your stance on the BLM. We are going to fabricate lies because we hate what you stand for: freedom, liberty, conservative American values, lower taxes, smaller government, control over the federal government, a limit on their reach, and for them to stay within the confines of the Constitution. They are so opposed to those efforts, they will go so far as to lie, fabricate information, and take someone's words and twist them. Well, this is an evil type of adversary that we're up against. It is done intentionally to take the narrative off the government overreach and start to talk about the criminals that the Coalition of Western States are, that legislators are, who are standing up. Because right now, they're arguing over, they've basically got people arguing over something that is not the topic they want us talking about, and that's government overreach. So anyway, this is, it's frustrating to see this. The BLM burned over, 1,000 acres in a fire that was deliberately set, claimed at least 4 structures, fence line, power poles. I can't even remember how many cattle, 80 head of cattle were consumed in this fire that the BLM started, and nothing happened. There's no compensation for the damage that was caused by them. They shrug and walk away. And you've got legislators walking up saying, wait, this isn't right. And then the left is trying to destroy them. They're trying to change the narrative and get them to talk about supporting the wildlife refuge takeover, which they did not support. What I've seen is a couple of people try to distance themselves from the Coalition of Western States with, like, oh man, I didn't know they were like doing this stuff. Co-conspirators, I don't want to be associated with them. But look, this is a classic right out of Sun Tzu, The Art of War. In this chapter of strategic assessment, there's several things that are listed here. Cause division among them. Send interlopers to cause rifts among them. Break up their accords. Cause division between their leadership and their ministers, and then attack. You may cause rifts between the leadership and their followers, or between them and their allies. Cause division and then take aim at them. We have to guard against these things. We know who the enemy is. There has to be unity among the patriots. When there's division, there's two sources of division. One is pride and ego, territorialism. It really comes down to pride. Somebody wants to be the top dog, and they're afraid of somebody else encroaching in their turf, so they start bad-mouthing the other person. That the adversary doesn't even have to do a thing. They just step back and let people just rip each other up and, you know, just tear at each other. The other way is intentionally creating, fomenting division among the Patriots to get them to turn on each other, or even create lies to try to get people to separate themselves. If someone lied about you, wouldn't you want your friends and allies to stand by you and say, I know this isn't true, and I know you're a liar, and I'm standing with them? You can call them what you want, but you're a liar. Or would you want them backing away and then not returning your calls or pretending they don't know you when you're being falsely accused of things? But even though they know it's not true, they distance themselves from you because you're tainted now and they don't want to be associated with you because other people might believe the lies and then you're affiliated with them and that could harm you. These are the times we're living in. We have to keep faith with each other and stand by each other and back each other up. So I stand with them. I know many of the people in the Coalition of Western States. I was involved in some of the phone conversations, and so I can affirm that what these journalists, so-called journalists, are claiming are false. They're lies. This is yellow journalism. I stand with the Patriots. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and segment 4 is coming up in just a minute. Don't go away. Now maybe I didn't mean to treat you bad, but I did anyway. And then maybe some would say your life was saved, but you lived it anyway. And so maybe your friends stand. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Segment 4 brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com. Those are also lifetime guarantee on all those with Kydex style holsters and magazine carriers right here in the American Redoubt. And don't forget to use your coupon code RFR for your next purchase. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. I want to try to cover something resistancy related because of the very precarious times we're living in the world. We have a lot of enemies that want a piece of us all over the world. We don't know what we could be faced with one day. So we need to start thinking differently because there are signs on the wall indicating that there are certain threats we could be faced with that we know others that have gone before us have confronted. And they've tried passing on those lessons learned. If nothing else, the mindset of being facing that reality that we could face one day. Someone asked me, how would one go about hiding someone? In your example of Chinese invading America, declaring all non-state sanctioned religious gatherings to be illegal. In this scenario, they asked, what if our home church leader became aware that the authorities were searching for him to apprehend him? How would you go about hiding and protecting him from certain imprisonment, torture, or death? In a non-EMP environment, when they have all the electronic tracking resources available to them. This is really important, and this answers a lot of questions, such as, Why should I need encryption? I don't have anything to hide. I'm not going to run and hide in fear. Well, that's great for you, and that's your choice. But don't chastise someone else if they choose not to turn themselves in. Hey, God's in control. If you get captured, then you deal with it, and he'll see you through it. But there are many people living underground and have for decades in various communist or Islamic countries. I know people personally who have firsthand experiences with underground churches, hiding people that have been sought after, and for years hiding people underground that if they are captured, they are going to be executed or imprisoned and probably die in prison because of the miserable living conditions. I have a feeling that the more pacifistic people saying we shouldn't hide, if we shouldn't be in fear if we're threatened with arrest by an occupying Chinese force for being Christians, that person wouldn't hesitate if it was their spouse or one of their children, even adult children, who chose to go underground. That would change everything for you. But there are several things that are critical for you to be successful in that kind of a situation. There's a lot to this, so I'll try to hit on key critical components. What if today the Chinese invaded and they started rounding up your home church pastor? He had a warrant out for his arrest. They're looking for him. Okay, first and foremost, there are two things that you must adhere to. One, initiative. Two, OPSEC. That's operational security. I'll go into detail on both of those, but you'll also have peripheral issues and options surrounding both of those, such as psychological effects on both the family as well as the fugitive. We'll call the person going underground the principal, okay, for the sake of this block of instruction, and I'll cover some of those issues. Now, I mentioned two critical aspects, initiative and OPSEC, but they're really intertwined. For example, initiative means you have to make quick decisions and you have to take immediate action. If you delay, they've got you. The situation would be extremely stressful for everyone involved. So you'll alleviate a lot of that by making your decisions on what to do early on, like now. You have to act very quickly and you have to keep the operation extremely compartmentalized. In other words, determine now who are your most trusted people in your circle who you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they would never turn you in, not for any amount of money and regardless of the danger that it would put them in. We all have them, but you need to reach farther than your immediate family and your best friend. They will be targets in the search for you. Just like our own government would do, the Chinese would quickly map out the human terrain. They're communists, and they live in a very pervasive surveillance state. So they know how to quickly map out who's who knows who texts, emails, and calls whom. You can build a probability model for who might be getting a visit by the Chinese agency in charge of hunting wanted people down. In fact, if you're in a high-risk circle of people, everyone should expect and prepare to have their home invaded. I'll talk about that in a second. Back to compartmentalization. Your initial safe house should be hosted by someone at least three links in the chain away from the following: A, your immediate family, your parents, or your adult children. B, your closest family members outside your immediate household, like your adult sister, your brother, your uncle. C, anyone in your social circle that you meet with on a regular basis, especially those in Bible study groups, the Bible study group that you lead. D, anyone you correspond with on a regular basis, such as friends, coworkers, etc. Anything with a digital trail connecting your email, computer, or your phone with, including places you frequent. Even if you never use your phone at some of those places, just having your phone turned on or even turned off with the battery installed creates a digital footprint, a map. It allows those with the forensic capabilities, such as the Chinese government, to map out precisely where you've been, how long you stayed at each location, etc. These create predictable patterns of where they might be able to intercept you and find you. In the very early stages, at least in the first 72 hours, do not reach out to everyone and their brother asking for help. Do not post it on social media in attempts to make your plight go viral in hopes of garnering mass public support and intervention on your behalf. At this stage, you have one objective: disappear. You make this go viral and try to let everybody and their brother know about this, then you no longer have initiative. Disappear. Disappear with as few people as possible knowing A, that you did disappear at all, and B, where you're located. Reach out to multiple groups simultaneously produces several negative results. Because this is a temptation for somebody in trouble. I don't know who to call. I'll call so-and-so. I left a message, but they didn't call back, so now I'm going to call so-and-so. And next thing you know, you've called like five different groups, advocacy groups, grassroots groups, civil rights groups, and anybody and everybody that can help you. Now you've got all these people now alerted and wanting to do something to help, right? Okay, now you have several things. You have way too many people involved, increasing the chances of the operation being compromised. You will have various levels of self-control and discipline over a wider number of people. It will vary. Some will make mistakes out of ignorance, with good intentions, or simply by the laws of probability. So the more people, the more chances of error. Finally, you would have too many groups of people, two or three groups even, all scrambling their assets to secure your home church leader, all of whom may actually be inadvertently working against each other or expending time, energy, and resources unnecessarily, and also creating additional activity that could alert the authorities that something's happening. In the initiative category, you quickly do several things. One, jettison any electronics such as your phone, GPS, mobile devices, etc. Forget them. They are now part of your past life. You will likely never see or use them again. In fact, you may want to destroy them. Two, quickly get to your initial safe house. Within minutes, have someone take you or go on foot. Do not take your car. You will likely never see it or drive it again. It's part of your past life. Now, police cruiser mounted and stationary roadside license plate readers can pinpoint an individual's car, direction of travel, and anticipated future locations instantly. The driver should leave his cell phone, GPS, and any other electronic devices. The driver who's transporting the principal should leave all of that stuff turned on and at home. This gives the appearance that you are home. It is, after all, your personal tracking device that no one leaves home without. Do not discuss anything related to the operation on your phone unencrypted. I'm talking to the driver, somebody who's handling a principal. Do not talk about to anything, anybody, text or phone unencrypted. More on encrypting and encryption in a minute. The vehicle that took you there, that takes the principal to the initial safe house, cannot return to that safe house again. When the driver drops you off and leaves, he will go directly to a public place such as a shopping mall or a coffee shop, hang out, relax, clear his or her head for about 20 minutes. Once the principal is safely and securely in the safe house, a separate party should contact everyone in the first relational ring who could be affected by the home church leader being sought after. Those who are engaged in similar activity as the principal, such as everyone that attends the secret church service meetings, should find someplace else to be for at least 24 hours. Go to a family member's house. Go to a motel for a date night with your spouse, or take an unplanned overnight mini vacation somewhere. The parents, siblings, spouse, adult children, and best friend of the principal should plan on, expect to be contacted with inquiries about the whereabouts of the principal. It is important to sanitize your residence, your workplace, where you are, to sanitize it of anything that could reveal the location or intentions of the principal. Expect that your cell phones and or computers may be seized. If not, expect for them to be tracked and monitored. Expect that in some cases, those in that inner circle may be detained and questioned and potentially even arrested for aiding and abetting, or at least investigation of it. The reason for compartmentalization is so everyone has plausible deniability of the whereabouts of the home church leader. They really couldn't give up the information if they were threatened or drugged or otherwise enticed or coerced into giving up the information they genuinely do not have. Encryption is critical. Get it now while you still can. Some apps that are available now and are extremely powerful are Wickr for texting and Signal for encrypted texting and phone calls. If you are, oh, by the way, set those so that you're required to put your password in. Don't slide the slider so it stays open all the time. Because if your phone gets seized or compromised, confiscated, then you leave everything open for them to read. What's the point of sending it? The end user is always the weak link in encryption. Okay, so I'll talk about that more in a minute. If you are the fugitive, the principal, you do not use electronic devices, period. You do not use a burner phone. They will be looking for burner phones which have been activated in the last week. And they use cell phone towers, which can be used to pinpoint the location of the cell phone within 3 meters. They can overlay the recently activated disposable no-contract phone location with the human terrain map and see that, voila, a burner phone that was activated last week is emitting a signal at your cousin's home. Let's go pay cousin a visit, they will say. The next thing is relocating the principal. You need to get him out of the immediate vicinity and into a different town, county, or even a state within 24 hours, preferably 12 hours. Remember, initiative. The sooner, the better. This needs to be coordinated with encrypted text at the very least, and should be done with a third party outside of the area. Everyone involved using encryption and use different layers. So, for example, you may send an email to one person. He turns around and sends a phone text encrypted to the other person that he has the contact with. So just break it up. So, for example, if you are in Arizona and want to get the principal moved to Colorado, you would coordinate using encryption with someone in California that's a trusted friend. Nothing related to the operation should be communicated from the safe house. It should be done by someone else who will coordinate with the California relay, who will coordinate with a single person in Colorado. The person in Colorado will coordinate with an individual or a team to link up somewhere in the middle to conduct the handoff. A location and time window for the link up is set up with at least two handoffs along the route. These are very trusted people vetted by the person in Colorado. Each given a piece of the puzzle, but isolated from any part of the operation that does not directly affect them. You do not reveal the identities of the escort teams to each other. They will use visual signals and authentications with each other to recognize each other. Instructions will be relayed to the escort teams so they know where to meet, when to meet, and what to look for or listen for, and how to authenticate each other. Do not use radios at a link up. Radio silence should be adhered to. When you move the home church leader, do it at night and, if possible, in a vehicle with tinted windows. Hide the church leader in the car or the trunk so that if the driver's pulled over for some unrelated infraction, the authorities won't question who the passenger is. Follow all traffic laws and ensure that the vehicles are in good mechanical condition and that all the lights, turn signals, etc. are working properly. Do nothing to bring attention to yourself. All parties will accidentally leave their electronic devices at home, turned on. At each link up, you should time it so that the parties meet about the same time. Turn off the vehicles and look and listen for drones or any aircraft at all. Also, if the driver carrying the fugitive even remotely suspects he's being followed, he should drive past the link-up location to avoid compromising the other parties. Make frequent stops at gas stations to clean the windows, look around, and watch for suspicious vehicles or that same vehicle at the last three stops in a row. You may also opt to drop the principal off in a remote location to be picked up minutes or hours later after the drop-off vehicle has left the area. In this case, you will need to plan visual signals for all parties at the link-up site to ensure a safe and secure link-up. Once the principal is at his new safe house in Colorado, outside his regular AO, he cannot use any electronic devices. It is important that the host makes the principal feel like part of the family or part of the household. He needs to be given tasks and chores, but he stays underground. He will begin getting homesick. His family will be worried and will long to feel connected to their family member in hiding. The principal will go through a series of emotions, such as remorse and guilt for leaving his family. He will consider turning himself in. He will be worried about his family and struggle with very strong urges to contact them, to let them know he's okay, and to see if they're okay. One of the most difficult psychological effects for someone in isolation or captivity is not wondering if their loved ones are okay. They usually assume their loved one's okay. It's the fugitive knowing that he or she is okay and being unable to convey that to his family, knowing that they are in emotional agony, wondering if he is okay. At some point, you have to consider ways of exchanging correspondence between the principal and those he needs or wants to correspond with, and it can be done. It may be an influential leader who needs to get messages of encouragement out to those of his in his congregation or to other leaders. This should be facilitated, but must be done with extreme caution. You can't afford to get caught once. Everyone has to accept that it will be weeks or a month or more before this kind of correspondence can take place. If you are in a position where you're at high risk, explain these things to your family. The principal should be moved through a network of safe houses often. At some point, a decision will have to be made as to how long the principal will stay underground or consider moving outside the country if the global political situation permits. If it's a Chinese takeover of America or part of America, then it's likely they will have global reach. But there could be free zones that you could smuggle the principal to. You'll have to assess that based on the situation at the time. And smuggling someone out of a country is a whole different block of instruction. So, correspondence. First of all, if the Chinese are in control, it's likely that all encryption will either be compromised or banned from use. So, you have to get creative. Get a laptop from a pawn shop or off Craigslist. Format the main drive, make sure it's wiped clean. Then, you should have a couple of programs. Right now, they are free and available, so get them now. First, GPG for USB. I spell golf, papa, golf, number 4, uniform, Sierra, Bravo. GPG for USB. It's a really easy program to use, very intuitive. It's free, and it is GPG encryption, extremely powerful encryption where you create your own keys and control the distribution of those keys. Secondly, Tails with Tor browser. This is a separate operating system that you'll run your pawn shop Windows 7 computer on, which has never been connected to the internet since you've owned it. Tails stands for the Amnesic Incognito Live System. Tails. It's privacy for anyone, anywhere. It also uses the Tor browser, which masks your IP and internet usage, routing you through multiple routers around the world. This is called Darknet, or part of Darknet. Tor stands for the Onion Router. Onion equals layers. And Tor comes with the Tails program. It's a separate operating system based on a Linux system. You'll put it on a DVD or thumb drive, and it is your operating system. When you plug it in and reboot your computer, you'll set up the BIOS so that it will start up using Tails so long as its Tails is inserted into the drive when you power up. Once set up, this is the only way the principal ever goes on the internet. And a safer way is for his host, the safe house host, to go on the internet using Tails for him from the computer at a bookstore, coffee shop, or some other public Wi-Fi. This is how messages will be sent to the principal's family and other leaders or other contacts that he needs to correspond with. Now, with the Wi-Fi turned off, you start up Windows 7 normally, not in Tails, on your pawn shop laptop, and open up your GPG for USB program. That is where you will type your message and encrypt them, or encrypt files or folders. But you need to create an account in the program, GPG for USB, and create a new key. Use your network to get your public key delivered to your contacts back in your hometown. When I say set up an account, you're not actually setting up an account, not online anyway. You're setting up a set of keys based on your email address, but not your email address. Do not use any email address you have ever used before, because that can be extracted, potentially, from the header information in the encrypted messages that you create. So it doesn't even matter to them at that point what the message says. They just needed to know who it's from and where it's coming from. But you'll have to use an email address to set it up, so you'll make one up. For example, when creating a key, you'll see an email box prompting you to type in an email address. You make one up. Type in daffyduck@daffy.net and then choose your password, create your key. If you need to know how to do this, go to YouTube and type in GPG for USB tutorial. Type in those words, GPG for USB tutorial. YouTube is your friend, and it's perfectly legal right now. So do it now, before the Chinese land, or until the Obama administration tries banning encryption. Same thing goes for setting up Tails. YouTube is your friend. Now, you type up your message in your GPG for USB program and selecting your key and the recipient's key, which you will have imported, you encrypt the message. There it is in all its glory, encrypted. Now you copy and paste that into Notepad and save it as a text file. Then you can drop it on a thumb drive and give to your safe house host to be delivered. Now he then goes to the coffee shop, starts the computer using Tails, and he delivers the message over the internet, but he doesn't email it to your family. No, because their email is going to be watched very closely and intercepted. He drops it on an internet numbers website, which is easily accessible by anyone in the world. And you're using Tor, so it might appear that you're connected to that website from Bangladesh or Chile or Canada. What it is an internet dead drop for encrypted messages, where someone in your hometown can get on the internet using Tails that they've set up on their pawn shop laptop. And they go to the numbers page and copy and paste the encrypted message from it into Notepad, save it to a thumb drive. Later, they can open up their GPG for USB, select your keys and theirs from the list of keys, and with their password, they can open up your message and let your family know you're okay. Or you can give instructions to those in your network and exchange correspondence. Remember, though, that with encryption, it's the strength and complexity of the password that is going to make or break your network. OPSEC is everyone's responsibility, because a breach by one person can compromise everyone. There's a lot more to that, but I gave you a ton. And you'll probably have to go back and listen to this a few times, which is probably going to prompt several of you to ask for me to put this in the form of an article that you can print out or a video. So that just went on my to-do list. And if you implement what I taught you, you've just magnified the chances that your principal will be kept safe and sound, undetected in the underground for as long as it takes. Much more to follow on that. There is still much to learn. So stay tuned. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and that concludes this episode. You have a blessed week, and keep us in your prayers, and be blessed. And we will talk to you next week, God willing. My name is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. Good night.